Maybe, friends, you've never read the Bible for yourself, never taken the opportunity or maybe even the trouble. Want to give you an opportunity this afternoon to receive a copy of, well, it's an extract at least anyway, from the Bible, a good place to begin, to start your Bible reading career. And who knows, maybe you'll get a surprise. You'll find it's not quite as you imagined it to be. Some people now and again, you know, they come to me telling me the Bible says this, that and the other. And of course, having read it a time or two, I know it doesn't say what they're saying. And so I find, you know, that they've never actually read the Bible for themselves. It's only just what they've heard other people saying. And so it's passed on, you know, from one person to another. Little bits are added, exaggerations are made, and the whole thing's just totally and completely distorted. And you walk about on God's earth with this distorted view of what His Word says and what the Bible is all about. So here's your opportunity. Clear your mind, you know, of some of that rubbish and get yourself informed. Because, you know, information is so, so important. It's, right information. Who knows, maybe it will lead you to the truth and the truth will set you free and you'll know God's salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because that, you see, in essence, that's what the Bible's all about from beginning to end, start to finish. Weaves its way all through the Bible, the person of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Christ died for the ungodly. There you see a summary, if you like, of the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. Christ, you see, a person, Jesus, not a religion, not an instituted religion, but a person, the person of God's Son, Jesus, who came into the world, stepped down into this world scene, in order to save and to rescue men and women such as you and I. And then, of course, the gospel, the good news, tells us what He did. He died. He died, of course, a death that He didn't deserve, one that you deserved, one that I deserved, but not He. He had never done anything wrong. He hadn't sinned. He hadn't broken God's law the way you and I have. He died, you see, a death for others. He died an atoning death. Lots and lots of men 2,000 years ago died in Roman crosses, but only one that was the Son of God, only one that was an appointed Savior, only one, you see, who was the Christ of God. Christ died, and who did He do it for? He did it for the ungodly. He did it for men and women who are in nature and practice contrary to God. Bible, you see, reveals to us, and the Bible alone reveals to us what God's like. Holy, utterly, absolutely holy, won't look upon of purer eyes, the Bible says, than to behold, to look upon evil. And so to be ungodly is to be unlike God, unholy, contrary to God in His character, in nature, and in practice too. You see, the Bible reveals that you're a sinner not just because of the things that you say and do and think. You're a sinner, you see, because you're a sinner by nature. And so you quite naturally do those things which are sinful. And that's why you need to be saved, what you need to be saved from. Bible makes that clear. But of course, a knowledge of God, you see, and a knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He sent into the world, Bible says, this is eternal life. Of course, you know God already. You don't know Him savingly. You don't know Him lovingly. You know Him unto condemnation. You know Him in wrath. And the Bible says that's why you suppress the truth about the knowledge of God. Because you know that God's angry with you. You know He's displeased with you. Atheism, you see, is a crutch for those who can't abide, who can't stand the reality of God. It's a hiding place. It's called self-deception. You know, you suppress the truth, the Bible says, God says rather, you suppress the truth in unrighteousness because the reality of God's wrath and anger against you is far, far too much for you to bear. So what do you do? What do men and women do? They suppress, they hold down the truth. They seek to justify what they call atheism. But the Bible says, in fact, there's no such thing as an atheist. No such thing as a Gnostic. Come out, people. Come out from under your self-deception. Step into reality. Raise the white flag and acknowledge that God is, because you know that He is. You already know it. Listen to what God says in His Word, if you will. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them. It's plain as the nose in your face, people, that God exists. Because God has shown it to you. Shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived. Not only do you know that God is, you understand. You understand. You know, self-deception, for although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. You live off the back of what God has revealed, and yet you deny His existence. How dumb, how stupid is that, people? I ask you. You know, you believe in law and order. You do all kinds of things. You do some wonderful things in your world by means of science, philosophy, logic, natural science. All of these things you do, but you're only able to do them because of God's revelation. Because God has revealed knowledge to you. Otherwise, you couldn't do anything. You'd be walking about the planet like a bunch of dummies, not able to do anything. You can only do logic. You can only do science. You can only do philosophy on the back of what God has revealed. There was a German philosopher back in the 1800s by the name of Nietzsche. He berated the English atheists. He says, "You cling to your morality." He said, "That's Christian. Get rid of your morality. You can't be an atheist and be moral," he said. Well, at least he was consistent. But you guys aren't. You get into a flutter when a man shoots a lion. I mean, how dumb is that? How can an atheist possibly complain about a lion being killed? Huh? And then, of course, well, you know, somebody commits murder. There's a shooting, you know, mass murder, and you all fly into a tiz about it. How can you expect there to be law and order if you're an atheist, if you're an evolutionist? You believe in evolution, don't you? Well, you're just a random piece of chemical fizz. That's all you are. How can you expect there to be law and order from a bunch of chemical fizzes? You see, people, you can't do none of these things. Science, logic, philosophy, law and order. Well, not consistently anyway. If you're an atheist, if you're one of these godless evolutionists. So come out of the self-deception, people. Raise the white flag. Acknowledge God. At least give thanks to Him. That's not salvation, of course. You need to repent and believe the gospel in order to obtain salvation. And that's not down to you. That's only down to a sovereign God as to whether He grants you that or not. But at least it would be a start, wouldn't it? To give over from the folly of so-called atheism, stupid mythological evolutionism. At least that would be a start, wouldn't it? But you see, people, what you need to be saved from, you need to be saved from your sin, no question about it, but you need to be saved from your fallen reasoning. Your reasoning, your thinking's off the wall, people. You need to think right thoughts, says God. You need to think my thoughts after me. You'll find them in the Bible, by the way. God says, come now, let us reason together, but not according to your reasoning, not according to your fallen reasoning, because your reasoning shot through, people. It's not worth a light. You need to come to the Word of God and reason. And God's reasoning is perfectly reasonable. But of course, He doesn't make that invitation to lions and tigers. He doesn't make it to your dog. He doesn't make it to your cat, no matter how much you love your pets. He only makes it to human beings because they're made in the image of God. He made them reasonable creatures. He didn't make all the animals that way, just human beings. And so people, come, take up the invitation, take up the offer. Come now, says the Lord, Lord God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible. Come now, let us reason together. Get your reasoning sorted out. Come out of the closet of godlessness, of self-deception. Step into the light of the acknowledgement of the existence of Almighty God, who gave you life and breath, in whom you live and walk and have your being. You can't breathe without Him. Never mind do science, logic, philosophy, and natural science and all the rest of it. So people, salvation's what you need. You see, sin's an awful, awful thing, and you can see, of course, if you've got eyes to see. Some people come at me, you know, with the accusation. You look at all the stuff in the world. And a guy said to me yesterday, all the murder and mayhem, and you expect me to believe in God? I said, yes, I do. I expect you to repent of your sin, your involvement in the chaos. Because we've all of us, by our sin, we've all added to it. We've all contributed to it. Yes, it's in chaos. Yes, it's in turmoil. Yes, there's murder. Yes, there's starvation. Yes, there's all kinds of mayhem. But you and I, every single one of us, have contributed to it. Now God, God's not the author of evil. Where does it come from? Bible answers the question. Does it come up out of the earth? Does it come down from the sky? Does it come on the wind? Jesus says it comes out of the hearts of men. Evil thoughts that turn into evil actions. Murder, blasphemy, theft, uncleanness. Not to mention all the false ideas, stupid notions about evolution, false religion that abounds in your world today. You see, people, it's the heart that's the heart of the problem. It's a heart that needs sorting. You want to sort the world, you need to sort man's heart first. Make it clean and you'll make the man clean. But then you see, that comes down to the nub of the matter. You must be born again. Unless a man's born again, he can't even see, perceive, understand these things, let alone enter God's kingdom. Except a man be born again, Jesus says, he can't perceive the kingdom of God. He can't enter into the kingdom of God. You must be born again. You must repent of your sin. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. But none of these things can you do by your own strength and power. You might as well try and pull yourself up by your bootlaces as try to do them things. No way, people. You're in the hands of a sovereign God. Unless he smiles on you, unless he grants you salvation, you're lost, and you're lost indeed. You remain just as you were born, just as you are conceived. In your sin, you'll live in it, you'll die in it, and you'll spend a lost eternity in it. But we come to tell you these things this afternoon, that you might be saved, that you might hear, that you might listen diligently, that you might pay heed to the things of God, that you might repent, that you might believe, that you might be saved. Don't tell you these things because we hate you. Some people make the accusation against us of that. Not at all. We love you. We love you. We come to you because we love you. You're heading towards a precipice. What do you think of a person? And there are some people call themselves Christians that are like that. You know, they see a bunch of people walking towards the precipice, but they do nothing, say nothing. They just sit in their churches, you know, strum their guitars and do their dancing and whatever else they do. But they never step out on the street to lift up their voices and warn you that you're heading towards the precipice. Well, we're here today because we love you, because you're in danger, and we want you to avert that danger. We want you to flee the wrath to come. We want you to turn. Turn, turn, says the Lord. Why will you die? I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they should turn and live. So, people, salvation. Well, you know, sin has, a lot of twists and turns to it. Bible says different names, you know, but it means pretty much the same thing. Iniquity, the Bible speaks about, you know. That means somebody that's twisted, that's warped, you know, that's crooked. And that's the state and condition which every single one of you is born in. You know, you talk about some people as being, you know, disabled, disformed, not to be disrespectful towards them, but there's a sense in which we're all born that way, you know. We're born deformed, crooked, you know, twisted and warped. We're not straight, you know, we're bent. You have this bias, you know, towards unbelief right from the get-go. You know, you don't need parents, you don't need school teachers, you don't need university professors, you don't need the daft Dawkins or Darwins to get you into unbelief. You're born with it, and you're born with the bias towards unbelief. You're born a hater of God, you're born crooked, you're born not straight, you're born alienated from God. You come into the world that way. Unless God performs an almighty miracle, I tell you, people, unless he remakes you, recreates you, you're lost, people. You know, we're all deviants. You talk about people being deviants, you know. I know what you mean. You're talking about the uncleanness. That's not what I mean. We're all deviants because we've all deviated from the pathway of God. We all, like sheep, says God, have gone astray, wandered into our own pathway. And unless the Lord brings us back, unless God by His salvation brings you back into the straight pathway, you see, all godlessness is a straying, is a deviation from the path of God. God made you in His own image, and that image is marred, that image is destroyed, that image is twisted and crooked. That's what iniquity means. And it's your iniquity, says God, that has separated you from Him. But you see, the gospel people, the good news concerning Jesus, God's Son, the good news is that God has done something to straighten you out. Yeah, He can make the crooked straight, but only God can. Yeah, He can mend you. He can take that which is twisted and heal it and make it good and make it run straight like an arrow. You see, people, you need salvation. You need God's mercy and kindness. You know, His goodness. You need to know eternal life. You need to be saved from your iniquities and from your fallen reason. Now the word that's used is plainly and simply sin. The word sin. All have come short of the glory of God. All have sinned, the Bible says. Missed the mark, that is, you know. You aim at the target, but you don't even hit the target. It's not a case of, you know, that you haven't hit the bull's eye. You haven't even reached the target, says God. That's what a sinner is. Somebody that doesn't reach the target. And the target, you see, that God set for humankind is a glorious one. And you haven't even begun to hit the target. Of course, you don't even hit your own target, do you? You set all kinds of goals. You set all kinds of agendas for your lives. You know, what you're going to do, what you're going to be. You're going to be a scientist. You're going to be a celebrity. You're going to be a banker. You're going to be a politician. You're going to do all kinds of things. You're going to look after your family. You're going to be a good person. And all kinds of agendas, you set them, but you never reach them. You're a bunch of failures. That's what a sinner is. All the same boat, people. Know about it, been there, done it, got the t-shirt, the video, got it all, people. Been there before you, wouldn't go back, not for all the tea in China, as you say. Now, you see, people, you don't even reach your own targets. Never mind God's glorious target. But, of course, your target, what you call goodness, is just shabby, utterly shabby. In comparison to God's holiness, the standard that He's got for mankind, for you, men and women made in His own image. So you see, people, you need to be saved from your sin. You need to be saved from your failure, your fallenness. Not reached your own targets, never mind God's targets. You've missed the mark, people. That's what sin is. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's what the gospel's about. It's not about health, wealth, and prosperity. It's about Jesus who died on the cross to save people from their sin and from their iniquity. Now the word that the Bible uses for sin is transgression. That's called rebellion. That's called lawlessness. And I tell you, people, I look at this society of yours. I look at these young people. They're bone idle. They're lazy. They haven't got the nous in them to learn their lessons at school. They're rude. They're unkind. I tell you, people, when us older generation, when we're gone, you are going to be left with an utterly lawless society unless something's done, unless God comes in mercy and kindness and grace and salvation to this nation of yours. Tell you people, it's getting serious. Lawlessness, rebellion on every front. You rebel against the authorities. You rebel against the police on the street. They have to treat you like kid gloves, with kid gloves. You rebel against the courts, the government. Rebellion, lawlessness abounds. But then that's just how God said it would be in the last days, that they would be perilous times and that lawlessness would abound. But of course, not just lawlessness against the laws of the state, against the laws of God, the commandments of God. You shall have no other gods before me. That excludes all other religions outside of the Bible. You see, people, lawlessness, breach of God's commandments. You shall not kill by means of abortion, by means of euthanasia, by all the other means in between, the violence and killing, the drugs, and so on. And of course, you shall not commit adultery. All the pervasive uncleanness that fills your Western society today. You shall not do these things. Why? Because God wants to spoil your fun? No, because He cares for your well-being, wholesomeness, health, you see. A nation in lawlessness, a nation in rebellion against those divine commands, I tell you, is a nation ready to implode. And it will. It'll come sooner or later. It has to do. You're heading, I tell you, you're heading for absolute destruction in this nation of yours today. You're on the edge of the precipice already. And I tell you, people, there aren't many getting saved. There aren't many getting born again. God ain't even listening to the prayers of His own people because we're under such serious, severe judgment. I tell you, people, this scares you. Well, well and good. I hope it does. I hope it does. Because we need to be scared. We need to be frightened. Heavy hand of God's upon us as a nation. And I tell you, He's going to fall on us. He's going to fall on us such wrath as you never believed was possible. You've seen nothing yet. ISIS, they're just playing. That's a kindergarten. Now, people, it's time to get real about your iniquities, about your sin, about your transgression. The tiniest sin, people, is worthy of eternal damnation. Tiniest sin, people, is the lifting of your fist in your Maker's face. Like one of old in the Bible, you ask the question, in impudence and ignorance, who is the Lord that I should serve Him? Well, you'll soon know, people. You already know Him. And you know that He's angry with you. And you suppress that truth in unrighteousness. But I tell you, people, that's dangerous. That's not the way to go. That's not good to go. The good way to go, people, is to acknowledge God, is to raise the white flag, is to surrender to Him, is to repent of your sin, is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved from your lawless deeds, saved from your iniquities, saved from your sin. Because God, you see, has given us the cure. He's given us a wonderful, wonderful way out. A way of escape, people. Pardon. Pardon for your sins. Forgiveness, people. You know where to go. You know what to do, don't you? When your conscience starts to trouble you, and believe me, it will one day. Some of you, of course, your conscience is asleep. Some of you, you've seared your conscience. You no longer have any sense of what's right or wrong. That's why men and women can stand in the courts of your land, judged guilty of the most heinous crimes against their fellow human beings, and not show a single ounce of remorse. Because they've seared their consciences. But I tell you, there's a day coming when your conscience will be awakened. It might be the day of judgment. I hope before then, in order that you might be saved. But the time is coming, believe me, when God will awaken your conscience. In that day, when that time comes, do you know where to go? Do you know who to go to? Do you know what to do in order to deal with that guilty conscience? Some people, of course, well, they don't mean to become drunkards. But you know, they just want some kind of relief from that guilt that crushes them, you know, it takes the life out of them. So they turn to the drink, you know, and it numbs the conscience and it gives them some measure of relief. That's the way to destruction, people. Some people, they turn to drugs, legal and then legal, illegal. They become drug addicts instead of dealing with their conscience properly. Many, many people, I dare say, who lined doctor's surgeries this morning throughout the country, who wanted treatment, who wanted drugs, not in order to get well, but in order to enable them to pacify the conscience, to numb them and enable them to carry on living their sinful course. People, that's no way to deal with a guilty conscience. That's no pathway to the place of forgiveness. There's pardon with God. The Bible says there's plentiful redemption with God, that he might be feared. You see, God is the forgiver of sins. He's merciful. He's gracious and kind to the repentant, to those who turn from their sin. Those who desire forgiveness, they will find it if they seek after him. Question was posed in the newspaper just the other week. It's just one word. I think it might have been the Telegraph, I'm not sure. One single word with a question mark after it. Why? Why? And of course the question was asked in relation to the slaughter on the Tunisian beach. Why, says the author, why the slaughter, and why does it go on and on and on and on? Because the religious system, you see, does not afford them a mediator. Does not afford them the assurance of getting to paradise. And the only way that they can be absolutely, according to the religious system, the only way that they can be absolutely 100% sure-fired hope of getting to what they call paradise is by becoming a jihadist. Is that not ironic? You have to become a murderer in order to be assured of getting to paradise. Well, there's an easier way, people. We do have a mediator. His name is Jesus. The only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He came into the world. He lived, he loved, he died, he rose again from the dead in order that men and women might be forgiven, that their sins might be washed away, that they might be absolved before Almighty God, and that they might know the assurance of a home one day in heaven, the assurance of salvation, the reality of guilt moved, removed. He shed His blood to wash away your stain. He shed His blood to make you whole again. Hymn writer asks the question, what will wash away my stain? He says, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What will make me whole again? He says, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah! Christ died for the ungodly. Pardon is possible. Salvation is a reality. But all who will repent and believe the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. But people, nothing else will wash you. Nothing else will remove the defilement. Nothing else will clean you. Nothing else will make you acceptable in God's sight. Nothing you do, nothing I do, whether it's religious or otherwise, not all the preaching in the world would make me right with God. People, only the blood of Jesus Christ, only the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What have you got that you can bring to God that would be acceptable to Him? Absolutely nothing. Everything you do, everything you say, your very best of deeds, people, they are like filthy garments, God says, in His sight. That's the best of your deeds, not the worst of them. So you see, people, go where you will. Ask, go into any store in the city of Nottingham today. Ask them for some commodity that will wash your heart, make you clean, take all the vileness out of it, remove the vomit of sin. The vomit stains all over your soul. Ask them, give me something that will clean me and make me right with God. And they'll laugh you out the place. They'll send for the men in the white coats to take you away. They'll say you're crazy. People, there is something that will make you clean. It's the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed for sinners. He made peace, you see, by the blood of His cross. But that peace has to be received consciously, willingly, deliberately, by faith, by you. Has to be received, people. It's there. Jesus has done it. He's done everything necessary. But you have to receive it. Came to His own, but His own didn't receive Him. But to those who did receive Him, to them He gave the right, the authority to become children of God instead of children of wrath. It's what you are by nature. It's what you are by birth, a child of wrath, and the wrath of God's upon you now. Continues to be upon you, right to the day of your death, unless Jesus, by His shed blood, propitiates for your sin. Placates the wrath of God, removes it from you, and gives you peace with God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. But there's nobody but Jesus. There's nobody but my Jesus can do this for you. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of God, and He is evidenced to be so by the power of His resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? Because He's alive from the dead. He defeated sin. He defeated death. He defeated hell. He's alive, and He's alive forevermore. Muhammad's not Lord. He's dead, buried, and gone to His own place. Confucius isn't Lord. He's dead and buried and gone to His own place. Buddha, a big fat man, what could he do for you? He's dead, buried, and gone to His own place. But Jesus Christ is Lord. Stands on the pinnacle of the universe. He rules throughout the worlds. And one day, you'll stand before Him as your judge, or your Savior, Which will it be? Jesus Christ is Lord, and this is His self-authenticating word. There is no higher authority in all the universe than this. He's the one who spoke the universe into being. He's the one who sustains it day by day. He's the one who keeps your earth revolving. He's the one who provides you with your very next breath, or takes it away from you. Maybe that will happen sooner than maybe you think it will. I hope it doesn't happen until you're saved. I hope it doesn't happen until you've been born again. One bishop, you don't get very much good out of bishops these days. But one good bishop once said, if you're not born again, the day will come when you'll wish you'd never been born at all. That's true. That's true. So people, we urge you this afternoon, come to me, says the Lord Jesus. Follow me, he says. A person, not a religion. Come to me, he says, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come now, says the Lord, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. God, washed away in the blood of the Lamb, Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world and can take yours away. Lamb of God, whom we see at the end of the Bible, and his garments are dripping with blood, the blood of his enemies upon whom he has taken vengeance. Believe me, people, being a Christian is no soft option. And believe me, Jesus Christ is no soft option for you either. Takes a real man, real woman to be a Christian. Any fool can be an atheist. Fool says in his heart, there is no God. Beginning of knowledge, people, begins with God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Can't know nothing without Him. Can't know salvation without Him. Can't know forgiveness without Him. Can't know eternal life without Him. So come. Come to me, he says, and let us reason together. Maybe, perhaps, you'll find your thoughts changing. That's what repentance is. A change of mind. Thinking God's thoughts after Him. Then, of course, you find your life, you find every other aspect of your being being transformed wonderfully and well. He can make you well. He can make you good. He died for that purpose, for that reason. He died to make us good. People, submit, surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. This afternoon, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall be saved. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. You'd like a copy of God's Word? Check these things out for yourself. Offer to